today, our scripture passage is going to be the Epiphany passage of the wise men, a familiar story for many of us. And so we're going to be looking at Matthew's Gospel, the second chapter, verses 1 through 12. So I invite you to follow along in your own personal Bible or Bible app, or you can look at the words that are presented here on the screen. And I invite you to stand as you are able in body and spirit in honor of reading of the gospel passage. So Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 2. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem, Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising, and we have come to pay him homage." And when King Herod heard this, he was frightened, all of Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. And they told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for it is said to be written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, by are no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. And then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, so that I may also go and pay him homage." And when they heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. They opened their treasure chest. They offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Hearing Blake tell me the children's moment made me think of a story that I do want to share with y'all that I think is very appropriate with today, with one of the themes of traveling distances and traveling to destinations. When you plan a road trip, right, I remember very vaguely, I've planned only one road trip with the map, okay, and I failed miserably at it, okay. How many of y'all have, for the first time, remember driving to Gulf Shores from Jackson, Mississippi? There's really not just a clear-cut way to get there, is there? Really, there's not. You can go the traditional route and go down 49 to 98 and try to hop on the I-10 bridge, but once you do that one time, you realize that tunnel is not as fun as it used to be when there's a lot of traffic, okay? Especially when you hit it during the peak times, all right? But you got to know when to hop on the I-10, and then you got to drive across the I-10 bridge, and if you don't like water, I just say avoid that completely, okay? And then coming back, you face the same dilemma of going through I-10 tunnel and getting back. There's not a real just clear-cut way, like to get to Memphis or to New Orleans, is there to get to Gulf Shores, right? Well, I remember the first time I planned the trip was when I was freshly married, so my wife and I were going with her family to a big old beach house on the coast, and we were caravanning, and we were following along, and we thought we had planned it out really well, and I thought I planned it out really well, and I think at one point I was the lead car, which was a horrible mistake, being this is my first trip to plan it out and trying to navigate all that, and I missed a turn to get on the I-10. And everybody followed me. And I'm like, wait a minute, I was supposed to get on the interstate before the bridge, not after the bridge. I said, I give up. Someone else will lead me through. So someone else took the lead. We got back on the right track, got down to the coast. Then on the way back, we were all leaving at different times. So my wife and I were going to leave with her sister and niece. There again, I planned it out on the map, and we were going to go home the way we came. So here we are. We got on the I-10, got through the tunnel. But I missed a turn somewhere in there, and my wife's like, "You were supposed to turn there." I'm like, "No, I wasn't supposed to turn there." "Yeah, you were." Before I knew it, I saw, "Welcome to Mississippi." I was like, "Oh, I really missed a turn that I was supposed to take, so let's try to figure out an alternate route home." Needless to say, after that trip, we've come up with a new plan for family travel in my house. I don't drive. I don't drive on the distance trips. What I do, though, now that we have these wonderful devices in our hands, I'm the navigator. I sit in the passenger seat, and I give my driver, usually my wife, plenty of heads up of, "You're going to be turning in X point miles. They hadn't said it yet on here, but I've already mapped it out. And you're going to turn here. And I give them plenty of ways to turn. And we get to where we go just fine now. So we navigate. And I found a new app called the Waze app, where I'm like the chief reporter of every cop that I see on the interstate. I see the cop, you're getting reported on that Waze app right now. I'm going to say, you're still there. So I have a lot more fun as the navigator. My wife enjoys driving and get where we need to be in our destinations. It's gravy. But here, okay, on this story from Scripture, what we have is a group of wise men, magi, even heard them called kings. I don't like that. That's more of something that got added on later down in the medieval days. But they're more astronomers. They are people who paid attention to the sky. Because even before you got to Waze apps and Google Maps and MapQuest, that was another one, the Garmin, the roadmap, the way people traveled long distances a lot of times was using the stars. That was their guide and where they went. So usually your astronomers and your wise men knew how to use that mapping to get where they needed to go. And so here you see that come out in this story of the wise men. So let's talk about this, because today we do observe Epiphany in our church. Yes, we do understand there's Christmas trees still out, and a lot of y'all have probably put your tree out. It's been on the road. It's been in the attic for days. And if it's not, you have grace because of Epiphany. You can say, I'm observing Epiphany. It's not because I've been so overwhelmed I didn't want to deal with it. It's because I'm observing Epiphany, all right? But Epiphany is the day where we celebrate the Magi and Christ incarnate come to earth for our sake, all right? And so many people still leave their Christmas lights out for 12 nights after Christmas, okay, in honor of Epiphany. So today is the passage where we look at that. So let's unpack what Matthew is trying to tell us here in his gospel. What is important in this story that we need to gain today? Well, it starts off that it says, in the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem, wise men came from the east, okay? So King Herod, who is King Herod? What was his role in this story and in the area? What was his position and his power? Well, Rome, how they operated in Jesus' day, they would come into town and conquer you, okay? You really couldn't defeat Rome. They would come and conquer you, and when they conquered you, they wanted you to do basically two things, okay? Pay your taxes, not much different than today, right? Pay your taxes, and then they want you to not rebel against their leadership, okay? So if you just pay taxes, did your own thing in your town like you were before you were conquered, as long as it didn't go against Caesar and the Roman Empire, they left you alone. Well, what they did in Jesus' day in the area of Judea, what the governor there, the governor of Rome, they appointed a local leader that the local citizens would accept as their leader, and that leader would also be a puppet to Rome. So King Herod was the man. King Herod understood the Jewish background and faith, understood the region, had connections. And so Rome said, you know what? As long as you do what we say and the people like you, you could be king of Judea. You could be king of this region. You can do your own thing, okay? Just make sure you keep peace and don't rebel against us. Well, King Herod was also kind of a bad dude as well. He was ruthless in his leadership style. He killed his first wife. He killed some of his sons out of paranoia that they were going to overthrow him and have Rome put them in place to manage the area. Even Caesar was quoted that it's better to be one of Herod's pigs than one of his sons. Okay? So he was not a nice dude, but he kept law and order. Okay? Now, when you're King Herod and you have these wise men come from a far off land, and it was not uncommon for people to come from the area of Persia to Roman lands to pay homage to new kings. Just like when we elect a new president, all the world leaders, even our enemies, will send well welcomes to the new president, okay? Well, when there's a new king born, usually folks from Persia come over and pay homage. Well, here come some wise men. King Herod didn't know they were coming, and they just show up to Jerusalem, kind of the capital area, and be like, hey, look, we heard you got a new king. This is great. We saw his star. We know the signs. We come to give him gifts and welcome him. Do you think King Herod had been excited to hear that news unexpectedly, that there's supposed to now be a king? He's the king. Rome put him there. Who else is king? That's why it says here when he heard this, he was frightened. He was concerned. He was wondering, what is going on here? And then when the king's court and those around him and the citizens saw that Herod was frightened, then they got nervous, because when Herod gets scared, he goes to the extreme ends to fix his fear. So they were worried, what's he going to do? How's he going to handle this? So everybody was frightened when these wise men came and said, you have a new king. But when this happens, he calls together, Herod does, his religious leaders. Say, all right, look, we got some guys from the east. I don't know who they are. They say we got a king. Search the scripture, search the prophets. See what it says about the birth of the new king, of the Messiah. Let's see. And when they did, they came back from a passage from Micah chapter 5, verse 2. And in Micah, it says, the ruler from Bethlehem. But you, O Bethlehem, who are the one of the little clans of Judah? From you shall come forth for me one that is to rule all of Israel, whose origin is from of old and from ancient days. So in Micah, it tells you from Bethlehem, the new king will be born. And they told King Herod that. And the Magi saw the star. And tradition says that these Magi may have had an understanding in the Hebrew faith because of the time of exile, when the Jewish people and the Hebrew people were put in exile in the area. Some stayed behind. And that's how Persia in that area knew a little bit about the Hebrew faith and the Messiah. And so when the religious leaders told Herod that, told the wise men that, he sent them out to Bethlehem saying, go and search diligently for the child, and when you find him, bring word to me so that I may go and pay him homage. Now, we know what Herod's intent really was, right? This was a threat. This was a direct threat to his rule. Rome does not like instability, so he better take care of this threat. So he told the wise men, yeah, go to Bethlehem. Hey, tell me where he is. I'll come and give him some gifts, which we know is not the truth. And so they set out, and they went ahead of them, and then when the star they saw at its rising stopped over the place where the child was, they were overwhelmed with joy. They had been traveling, following the stars for a long time on foot, okay? They were pretty sure in what they were going to find, but until you really see it, you're not 100% sure. And so they were overjoyed to see the star point them where they were supposed to go, and the Messiah was there. Now, you've got to keep in mind, this was probably quite the scene for Mary, as it was probably for Herod, for these unexpected visitors. Because we believe that there's three wise men, but in actuality, there were probably more. The reason why we say three is because of the three gifts that were brought. But a lot of times, these magi, when they travel from the east, they don't go by themselves, okay? They travel with an entourage, with animals, provisions, assistance. It's quite the crew caravanning through, all right? Because they got to have things to sustain themselves. And when you travel back in the day, when you travel from place to place, those are well-known routes where you'll carry a lot of expensive things. Don't you think there's probably opportunists there called robbers to rob you along the way? Yes, there were. So a lot of times there's some risk involved. You kind of stand out when you're going along with so many goods and gifts. So it's quite the journey, quite the group that's traveling with them. So can you imagine this? Mary, young, some say teenage, okay, at home with a newborn, husband probably out working, doing things while she's tending to the home and to the children, and knock on the door, and here is an entourage of royalty, entourage of important people from a far off land to not see you, the mom, but to see your child and to give your child gifts because they believe it is the new king. Now, Mary knew the importance of Jesus from what was relayed to her. She knew that Jesus had an important role ahead of him, but she would have been surprised to have seen that at her front door. And many people believe Jesus was not in the cradle. He was probably a year or two old, because when he was born and the star was there, and when they would have seen the star, it would have taken them a couple of years probably to travel to get there. There's no interstate, no airplane, as we all know. It was a lot of foot travel. So he was probably a couple of years old running around the house. And here comes these magi to give gifts and to worship the new king. And so upon entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. They knelt down. They paid him homage. They opened their treasure chest and they offered him three gifts. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And those are important gifts. The gold represents Christ's majesty. Frankincense is what you would use in worship of the divine. And myrrh, which would have been an odd gift for a newborn child or a two-year-old child, but myrrh was often used in the preparation of a burial. But these are all also symbolic in who Christ is. And the other important thing here is that shortly after the wise men came and paid homage, they left. They went a different way. They didn't tell Herod where they found the child because it would have been revealed to them that Herod would have been out to kill the child. And then shortly after that, as you continue reading in the story, it was revealed to Joseph and Mary that they needed to get out of town to protect Jesus from what was about to happen. And so they went off as refugees into Egypt, as foreign aliens in a foreign land. And guess what they had with them? A simple carpenter now has gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Very expensive gifts that could have sustained them in the early years of their life as refugees in Egypt. God provides what you need in the moment. Sometimes not in excess, but just what you need. And in that moment, that is what Mary and Joseph needed to take Jesus shortly after this to keep him safe. You know, when we go about our days, when we go about our lives, when we are traveling from point A to point B, when we're doing our journeying in life, we sometimes tend to miss things when we do that. Just as I was planning my trips using the road map and trying to follow the map and get where I needed to go to the coast back and forth, I missed my exits. You need a navigation. You need something to guide you in your life. You need kind of what you call like a North Star in your life, something that will kind of keep you straight, to point you in the right direction. And along these journeys in life, you know, a lot of times we miss where God is fully present in our lives. Just as when Moses was in the wilderness and there was a burning bush, he was present enough to notice the bush wasn't being consumed by the fire, which would have been odd. That was God calling him. The Magi did not miss what was happening in the sky. They did not miss what Scripture was saying where the Messiah was to be born. But you know who did? Herod and the religious leaders of the day. They missed it. And so I think what we're trying to have revealed to us is that in life, we miss things. In life, we're consumed with things that are just not focused on what God is trying to focus us on. A lot of times, we're so busy for doing our own task, getting from point A to point B. We miss Jesus on the streets. We miss Jesus in the shopping centers. We miss Jesus in our workforces and in our schools. Where God is present, we miss that because we're so consumed with what we have going on, that we miss out on those opportunities. And so what we need to focus on more, is Jesus. Is Jesus in each and every one of our lives. It's what Jesus is calling us to be. What Jesus is, which is love. Because when we do that, we begin to be more aware of our surroundings. We begin to see through the lens that Jesus does. And we begin to see the need in the world. We begin to see where God is calling us next in our lives. Jesus is going to be our North Star. He is going to be what we need to use to guide us through this messy life of ours. And yeah, we're going to get off track. We're going to take the wrong exit, the wrong turn. We're going to get on our own little paths and go down our own little back roads and dirt roads and dead ends. It happens. But Jesus is always there ready to get us back on track.